now I'm going to invite up our speaker. He's fresh, 2024. It's fresh, Pastor Chris Huckle, who's going to speak to us on prayer and fasting.
Feeling very fresh this morning, although I do need a haircut. I'll get that eventually. So good to see you guys. Happy New Year to you all. Hope you had a wonderful New Year's celebration, Christmas celebration, whatever you did. It's always interesting comparing families when you're married. So we had Christmas Day with my family. We managed to avoid the karaoke this year, but they are a bit more pack of 2024. It's, you know, I haven't even begun my message yet, and already I am just amazed at what God is doing. We had a bunch of new visitors join us for pre-service prayer. And like Rachel said, Matthew's family, I haven't seen each other for about 5 years now. It's so good to have you guys with us. You are very, very, very welcome indeed. And inside those red bags, it's okay if you haven't started fasting yet, because inside those red bags is some chocolate, which you can, I'll allow you to have and break your fast in that time if you're a new visitor. Thank you for being with us. We've got loads of amazing stuff coming up this year. Now, last year in 2023, our theme was the glory of God. And we haven't just dropped that. We haven't abandoned it or anything. We are still going after that. But in the next few weeks, we're going to be starting to unpack what we believe God is highlighting this year and how we are going to run after it with all of our might. So stay tuned. This Sunday, we are going to be starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Next Sunday, we have our anointing Sunday. So we are going to make a space like we do every year for every single person in this church, young and old, adult or child, to be able to come forward at the end. We will have a bunch of different people at the front who are experienced prayers, people who are experienced at prayer. And they would love to anoint you with a little bit of oil, which is a powerful symbol of the Holy Spirit, anointing you for everything that God wants to do in your life in this year. So make sure you don't skip next Sunday, as if you'd ever skip a Sunday at church. The following Sunday after that, we have our baptisms. And then the following Sunday after that, we're joining with our Equippers family at Leatherhead Theatre for Vision Sunday. Hundreds of us together. So it's going to be an action-packed January. I hope you're ready for this. Before I get started on my message, I wanted to unpack a little bit, which is midway through the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about giving, he talks about prayer, but he also talks about fasting. And if you've never fasted before, or if maybe you've come from a previous different religious tradition or philosophy that involved fasting, it might be a little bit different. You're thinking, how does fasting actually work in Christianity? And I want to let you know, first and foremost, fasting isn't some religious chore that we just have to do in order to keep God happy. God is not like that. Neither is fasting something that makes us appear extra holy, as if we try and make some sort of deal with God and say, like, if I starve myself for a little bit, God, will you answer my prayers? That's not what it's about either. No, fasting is a chance for us to, at the start of the year, hit the spiritual reset button, where we take things in our life, good things, food is a very good thing, it's one of my love languages, and we temporarily as say no to our body, no to our mind, and we say, we set it aside temporarily, just for 3 weeks, and we say, God, you are front and center of my life again. It starts the year off right. It's like when you're getting dressed in the morning and you're wearing a button-up shirt like I am. Have you ever been in the position where you've done up the first button wrong, and then you get to the end and everything's out of order? Fasting, at the start of the year, 21 days of prayer and fasting, is like when we say, the first button goes in the first hole, and everything else throughout the rest of the year comes into alignment. So on the screen behind me are going to be a couple of ideas. If you've never fasted, it isn't necessarily better or holier than the other, but find something which works for you. Pray about it. Talk with your family and friends. Maybe you could do this together. This isn't just a diet at the start of the year, although that is an added bonus, maybe. But find what works for you. Maybe you're the sort of person who think, I can miss one meal a day. I can skip lunch, I can skip breakfast, I can skip both and just have dinners. I've done that before. Maybe you want to fast for one full day of the week. You think, okay, Wednesday is not too intense at work or anything like that. Wednesday, I'm going to have no food. On Thursday morning breakfast. You can do that once, twice, however many times a week you like. A little bit more intense. Maybe you want to do something called the Daniel fast, which is pretty trendy amongst us millennials. The Daniel fast is what Daniel did in the Bible, where he said, basically, I'm going vegan for 21 days. He's cutting out meat, eggs, dairy, sweets, bread, alcohol, all of the fun stuff, and he's existing on whatever is left. It's more of an exclusionary diet like that. Maybe you want to do something like liquids only. You're going to be drinking only smoothies and, I don't know, blended up roast dinner or whatever you do, that sort of thing. I've known a few people who've been able to do that before. Or maybe you want to do a more modern fast. If you're thinking, well, maybe food is not the biggest thing at the moment, but maybe TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, the news, YouTube, Netflix, TV, video games, something a bit more modern. You say like, okay, at the start of the year, I'm going to set this aside and put God in the center. So have a think. You can keep each other accountable. And what we will be doing throughout this month is we'll be sending you more information about what to pray about, how to focus your prayers. And I would love it for each and every one of you. You can have one thing, you can have more than one thing. But just in this moment, before we go any further, just in this moment, I want you all to close your eyes and I want you to pray this. In your mind, I want you to pray, God, how do you want me to pray this season? And that is an excellent prayer. So just in this moment, say, God, how do you want me to pray in this season? And maybe, as we're just in this moment praying, God is highlighting something. Maybe there's something in your personal life that you've been believing for a long time that you haven't seen the answer for yet. Maybe this is the time to refocus, rededicate your prayers and think, yeah, God, I'm believing for that breakthrough. I'm believing for that healing. I'm believing for that restoration. Maybe God is bringing to mind a person, a face, a name, a group, someone at work. So maybe this 21 days of prayer and fasting, God wants to use you to reach them. Saying like, God, this year, give me the courage, give me the strength, give me the wisdom to bring them to church. To invite them to church. I'm going to get all of you to ask Lorraine at the end of the service what she did about inviting people to church. It is awesome, but I won't spoil it for you. God, how do you want me to pray in this season? And whenever God's dropping in your spirit, whether it's a full thing now or you need to pray through it some more later on, I believe that God is wanting you to go on a prayer adventure over these next 3 weeks. Sound good? You got it? Amen. Good. Okay. So, think, plan, pray. Look a little bit slimmer. 3 weeks' time, I'm hoping for that. And let's talk about prayer. Good. So, prayer, that's probably something that we really should do as Christians, isn't it? And I couldn't think of any fancier title. I just want to keep it this morning plain and simple. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, we get this wonderful little verse where it says, seek the Lord, search after him, look for him, keep your eye out for him, seek the Lord, pursue him, and his strength, his power. Seek his presence, his spirit, where he is. Continually, always, every week, every month, every day, every moment, morning, afternoon, evening, even when you're asleep. It's a great prayer to pray at the end of the day. Jesus, I just want to fall asleep in your arms. Visit me in my dreams. Give me your peace. This is the kind of thing that I think prayer should be, where we are just constantly, excitedly, readily, happily, joyfully seeking God. Running after him, always, continually. And that would be nice if that was the reality that each and every one of us faced every day. But how many of you know that that's not always easy, to seek the presence of God continually? Sure, we can do an hour and a half on a Sunday morning when everyone else around us is Christian. Everyone else around us is doing the same thing, praying the same thing, praising the same thing. We might be able to do it every week at Connect Group when there's the intention there. We might even be able to do it as part of a New Year's resolution or the start of a new week. So I'm like, no, this week is going to be different. But pretty soon, as I found in my life, the hype drops, the momentum slows down and my prayer life starts to stagnate. And before I know it, I'm seeking food and drink continually instead of prayer. I'm seeking entertainment and distractions continually instead of God. How do we, at the start of this year, really get on fire for prayer again? How do we fire up our prayer life so that 2024 is our most prayerful year yet, our most fiery prayer yet, and we are making sure that this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of a life where we are seeking God continually. How do we do that? Well, I want to give us a few reminders from Jesus's biggest block of teaching. One day, Jesus decided to go up on a mountain, and all of the crowds that had been following him, all of the crowds that had seen his miracles, had been healed by him, who'd heard his wonderful words, they're like, we've got to follow Jesus. He goes up this mountain, he sits down, and he starts to teach. It's this famous set of sayings called the Sermon on the Mount. And right in the middle, it's only three chapters long, how to pray. You might think, Chris, I know how to pray. You just talk to God and say amen at the end. And if you're feeling a little bit extra holy, you say, in Jesus' name, amen at the end. But Jesus says, no, this is how you should pray. He gives us a guide for prayer. And the first thing that he tells us, number one, is prayer should be simple. The wonderful guy when Rachel and I were at university who went in the Christian Union, you know, there was someone who organized the events. Rachel knows who I'm going to mention. There was someone who organized all of these different things. And there was one guy who organized the prayer. We met up every morning, not every morning, once a week, every Tuesday morning for prayer. And he organized prayer. He was passionate for prayer, but his prayer life was very interesting when he led it in public because he had to basically include God's name in every single sentence or two. He says, yeah, Father, Lord, thank you, Father, Lord, that you are good, Father, Lord, and you're here, Lord, Father, with us, Father, and you're our Lord, and thank you, Father, Lord. And it was just, we had tried hard not to crack up each time. I mean, he was dedicated, he was passionate, but he was overcomplicating it just a little bit. Can you imagine if you spoke to your best friend or your spouse or your children like that? It's just like, Rachel, I just think it'd be wonderful, Rachel, if you could just, you know, make me a cup of tea, Rachel. Rachel would be really lovely. And Rachel, just, you don't need to do that. And yet we do this with God all of the time. We try and dress up our language. We try and think, if only I use the right combination of words, God will answer my prayer. And Jesus says, no. Prayer needs to be simple, first and foremost. It's simple. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, we get this. Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, the people who say one thing and do another. These people, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, in the holy places, and on the street corners so that they can be seen by us. They like to show off with their prayers. And they say, he says, truly I say to you, they've received their reward. That round of applause that they get for showing off with big fancy prayers, that's all the reward they're going to get. God isn't impressed with showy prayers one bit. He says, don't be like that. So what should we do instead? Well, he says, well, you, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Prayer isn't something that you show off with. Prayer is something that is either simple, easy, straightforward, just because we want to be with him. And he says, when you pray, verse 7, he's like, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Don't just try and dress up your language, make it holy, make it flowery or anything like that. People who do that, they think that God hears them if they use the right spiritual password, if they use the right religious phrases. Like, don't be like that. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. I had a wonderful moment years back in my youth group where one of our guys in our youth group, he was a bit younger than me, he had a bad leg and the pain just would not go away. And we think, right, well, we believe in prayer, we believe in miracles. So we all got him to sit down, put one hand on his knee and said, we tried to dress up our prayer, first of all. We were going to say, God, thank you that you're healing, I can't remember his name, Steve. Thank you that you're healing Steve's leg. We pray for healing. But before we even got there, we said, we had to do an introduction because we thought that's how prayer worked. We said, Father, thank you for Steve. Thank you that you love him so much. Thank you, God, that you are a good God who is willing to heal, who loves us, who loves us as if God needed reminding that he is a healer. And before we'd even finished the introduction, his leg was better. God knows what you need before you even ask him. Prayer should be simple. Prayer should be simple. So when you talk to God, speak simply. You don't need a special religious password. You don't need flowery language. You don't need to go on and on and on and on because God is deaf or anything. No, God knows what you need before you even think, oh, I should probably pray about that, shouldn't I? Prayer should be simple. So my encouragement this year is let your prayers be simple, straightforward. I want you to enjoy God's presence that Jesus prayed in the New Testament. And the longest public prayer, not private prayer, the longest prayer he ever prayed in front of other people is about 15 seconds long. That's it. Now, when he was in private, he went for a long time enjoying his Father's presence. It says before he chose the 12 disciples, he prayed all night. It said he woke up before the sun rose and prayed, enjoying time with his Father. But even then, even in the high priestly prayer before he goes to the cross, it is simple, it is heartfelt, it is time with his dad in heaven. Let your prayer be simple. In Psalm 145, verse 18, we get this verse that the psalmist says, "The Lord is near to all those who call on them, to all those who call on him in truth." Did you, regardless of how you feel, did you know that when you call on God, before you even say what you need, what you want, what you're coming to him in prayer for, God's already there. God is near. God is right next to those who call on him. And your prayer actually touches the heart of God. There's only 5 weeks to go until Rachel's due date, which is slightly terrifying. But when our little boy grows up and starts to be able to speak and things like that, I can just imagine he'll just come running up wanting to spend time with his parents, with his mum, with his dad, and he won't come saying like, "Oh, mother, father, if it please you, please grant me this request of fish fingers and chips, all of this religious language." He's just going to come forward straight away, boldly say, "Mum, dad, I want this. Let's go." Can we not be the same with God? Because it pleases God when you pray to him, and it'll please us when our little boy requests fish fingers and chips or whatever it might be. I don't know, maybe I'm just hungry because I'm already fasting. We'll see. This is what prayer does. It's simple, and it touches the book that explained the gospel, and it had a prayer, a convenient prayer at the end, saying, like, if you would like to become a Christian, why don't you pray something like this? So I did. And there was no thunder or lightning. There was nothing else going on. It was a standard school night. I had to get up early the next morning. But I felt there was something different. My door didn't open in a spooky way or anything like that, but I could just tell God's close by. God's moved in. He's moved in here. And when you do with a simple prayer, using someone else's template if you like, Jesus set a template, which we'll go through at the end, but you meet God, you touch the heart of God, and it is sweet and simple when you do. So prayer should be simple. And then Jesus goes on. He gives us the Lord's Prayer, which we'll go through at the end. But then he goes on a little bit later, and he talks about how prayer is not only simple, but prayer impacts reality around us. I don't know how many times I've been in a meeting with some of the different team leaders here at church, and we say, oh man, we really need this to change. We really need this person to take on this leadership role here. And we really need, more stuff in this box. Just the practicalities of making this church happen. When Rachel and I first got here to New Malden and the previous leaders had transitioned out, there were a few Sundays where unloading the van and all of the heavy gear, it was me, it was Rachel, it was Bob, and that was it. And we thought, okay, God, please, please, we need more people. Please send us lots of really, really strong men to unload the van. God answered that prayer. Look around, Hatef, God bless him, bodybuilder in Iran, Sunday, unloading the van. Thank you so much, God, for that answer to prayer. Prayer changes things, and yet somehow we're always surprised by it. Now, I love that we're always surprised in the first place, because prayer changes reality. In Matthew chapter 6, a little bit later in verses 14 and 15, Jesus talks about this in the context of our relationships to one another, forgiveness. And he says this, if you forgive other people their trespasses, the way people have crossed your boundaries and hurt you and insulted you and persecuted you, the way that people have trespassed against you, if you forgive them, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Man, your prayers affect reality. God is far more interested in reconciliation, in forgiveness, in the way that we treat one another, in love and patience and humility. And Jesus is actually saying here, if you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Don't forget when you're in prayer how this changes things. And you might be thinking, you know, Chris, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know how they hurt me time and time and time again. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But I know someone who does know. I know someone who has been through every betrayal, every abandonment, every fear, every rejection, every bit of pain, and then some. And he says, I want you to forgive them. And when you do, you're not alone. You don't have to do that alone. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. There have been people in my life in the past where, for one reason or another, I just say, God, I'm trying, but I just can't let it go. What they did to me, what they said to me, or what maybe not even to me, to other people. How could they have been so cruel? How could they have been so mean? How could they have said and done this? And Jesus says, I know. I know. I get it. But if you can't forgive them for that tiny thing, by comparison, where else can we go? And Jesus says, come on, I'm with you. If you can't forgive in your own strength, Chris, in your own humanity, that's okay. I'm not expecting you to. I will give you my spirit. I will give you my presence. I'll give you my power. I'll give you my glory. I'll give you my grace to allow you, to empower you, to forgive, to move on. And this is what prayer does. It is not only simple, but it changes reality. And when I say that, it's not your own strength. It's not your own words. It's not your own power. It is the power of God flowing through you in prayer that says everything around you is going to change. That empowers you to forgive and let things go. It empowers you to walk like Jesus walked in miracles and signs and wonders. It empowers you to walk into the room and people notice there is something different because the very Spirit of God is carried with you into the room as you get there. Prayer changes things entirely. In Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says this when he's talking about prayer. He says, you know, continue steadfastly in prayer, being two things, watchful in it with thanksgiving. Watchful in it with thanksgiving. Paul says prayer isn't something that we just do lightly. It is simple. It should be straightforward and simple. But it is something that we take seriously. We are watchful in it. And as we do, we are thankful in it as well. When we do this, when we pray, when you finish saying, you have, fantastic, long may that continue, you might not immediately see around you something that has changed. If you have, brilliant, long may that continue. But you can know that something has shifted in a higher reality, and one day this reality is going to catch up with what God has changed. Like Rachel was praying this morning at 10 a.m. in pre-service prayer, and I'd encourage you to be there, especially at the start of this year. Jesus said, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed in earth. Jesus has given you the most powerful weapon of all, prayer. And when you pray, something changes in the heavens. And what later? I found this many, many times in my life. Particularly when Rachel and I were getting married. We were very young at the time. We were 21, 22 when we got engaged, and it was a big adventure. And we had so many obstacles in the way. Things like, you know, how are we going to afford this? Where are we going to live afterwards? Oh, we're planning to travel and go to Bible college. How are we going to do that? How are we going to get everything together when we're already so busy with an internship at the moment? And what sustained us through that? It was a bunch of different things. Each other, our friends, our community, those who loved us and cheered us on, the promises of God in His Word. But what I believe changed the most was our prayers. When we said, God, this is how we see you moving. This is what we see that you're up to. Now you've got to come through. We are putting ourselves in your hands. And sure, I might have had many late night tearful conversations over the phone with just, when is this going to shift? But it did. Reality caught up with what had changed in the heavens sooner or later. Prayer changes things. And I believe that if you have been praying and you haven't seen the answer to your prayer yet, keep praying. Something is changing in the heavenly reality. And the earthly reality, it might be slow at first, but momentum is building and it will catch up. And then finally, the third thing that Jesus goes through. Number one, prayer is simple. Prayer changes reality. And then number three, the nature of prayer is this. It is trust. Prayer is trust. And that's maybe sometimes why we find prayer a bit difficult, a bit uncomfortable, because prayer forces us to give up control. Whatever it is we're praying about, prayer forces us to say, God, here you go. It's yours. It's in your hands. It's up to you now. When we talk about prayer, we're talking about faith. And when we're talking about faith, we're talking about trust. Trust in someone who is infinitely more capable of changing reality than we ever could be. Jesus rounds off his section in prayer in Matthew 6 from verse 25. And he's saying some pretty hard-hitting things. But I imagine he's saying all of these things with a smile. And he's saying, you've just got to trust. He says, therefore, based on everything I've told you about prayer, therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. You know, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll put on. Life's more than food. The body's more than clothes. And then I imagine he's just looking around, pointing in the sky. He's like, look at the birds. Look at these sky flyers. Look at these creatures in the air. They don't plant seeds. They don't harvest. They don't check their bank account before wandering over to Tesco. They don't do any of these things. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not so much more valuable than them? Or he gives another example. Which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? Now, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Just by worrying about something could give you extra time to deal with it. But that's not how it works. He says, why are you anxious, I don't know, about clothes, about the stuff of life? Look at these beautiful flowers. I imagine him pointing in the fields on the hillside. Look at these beautiful flowers, how they grow. They don't head over to Primark. Or River Island, or those are the only two clothes shops I know. They don't toil or spin or sew or do all of these sorts and look half as pretty as they do. I don't know how many of you watched the coronation of King Charles, how majestic, how glorious he looked. He said, that's nothing compared to God's grand design in some daffodils and some sunflowers. So much more beautiful. But if God makes the grass so beautiful, which today is here and tomorrow Bob takes a lawnmower to. If it's here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, won't God do so much more for you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, don't be anxious saying, oh, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? How will I do this? How will I do that? Those are all good questions, by the way. in a cost of living crisis, those are all good questions. How am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to heat my house? How am I going to afford my rent? How am I going to pay for my groceries? How am I going to do this, that, and that? That's a good question. And Jesus isn't saying, ignore that. But he's saying, don't be anxious about those questions. Don't be anxious, because the Gentiles seek after all of these things. And listen to this. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. He knows you need food and drink. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need school uniform for your kids. He knows you need the train fare or the bus fare. He knows you need groceries and pay rent. He knows that you need these things. And then there's that famous verse in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a right relationship with him. And guess what? When you do, when you put first things first, when you do up the right top button, everything else comes into alignment. When you put God first, all of these things will be sorted out. All of these things will be added to you. Is groceries involved in all? Is rent involved in all things? Is clothes involved in all things? Is heating bills and electricity bills involved in all things? Yes, it is. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Today's got enough trouble anyway. With God, where you say, God, this isn't easy. I like being in control of my life. I like designing my life. I like to feel like I have some sort of control over this. But God, you know I need these things. You know I need this to live. You know I need this to move forward. And thank you, God, that before I even come to you in prayer, thank you, God, that before I even think to ask you, you already know. So God, I give it to you. I hold it in an open hand. Whatever it may be, a person, a place, a thing, an issue, a difficulty, I give it to you, knowing that you are so much more capable of dealing with it than I am. And I choose to put you on the throne of my life. Not me, not food and drink, not social media, not all these distractions and diversions, not these maybe good things, but might not be God things. I choose to put you on the throne of my life. Paul sums this up in Philippians 4, verse 6. This wonderful verse. He just goes again and he says, don't be anxious about anything. Anything at all. Don't be anxious about anything. But instead, with all of those things, by prayer and supplication, that just means asking God for things. With thanksgiving, just tell God what you need. Let your requests be made known to God. Just tell him what you need. Maybe you're thinking here right now, you've got an issue, you've got a difficulty, you've got a person, you've got a situation, you've got something that you're believing for to change. Something that you've been trying to work out, and you might be thinking, when was the last time I actually asked God to step in? When was the last time I actually thought, you know, maybe Jesus could sort this? In 16, it says this, just like a little child coming to their parents for fish fingers. Let us then, with confidence in the simplicity of prayer, in the power of prayer to change reality, and in trust in the one we're praying to. Let us with confidence draw near, go close, get right up close and personal to the throne of grace. And when we do, we can receive mercy and we can find grace more than enough to help in the time of our need. It was an issue of trust when I was teaching, when I was a school teacher, and it was just getting so heavy, so difficult, day in, day out. And I got home and said, Rachel, I don't know how much more I can do with this. So we were like, okay, let's make you go down part-time. Instead of 5 days a week, let's do 3 days a week, Chris. I would take a pay cut in my salary. I had nothing else to fill the days, no other work, no other plan. We just thought, God, we'll trust you to provide. And as we did, 2 weeks later, we got the call, hey, there's this church in New Malden that are looking for some new leaders. We didn't know that was coming. And yet, by trusting God that He is able to provide, that He is able to unlock dreams and destiny way better than I ever could, we stepped out in trust, stepped out in faith, and God opened the door. He didn't just open the door, He had more than enough grace for you based on those things. Prayer should be simple. Prayer changes reality, and prayer is all about trust. So number one, where have you made prayer complicated? Where have you made prayer a little bit complicated when prayer should be simple? And I'm not just saying Father, Lord a few extra times. I mean, where have you made prayer about religiosity, about dressing up your language, about doing enough in order to get God to answer? Where have we just made it too complex, too complicated? And instead, we just got to get back to simplicity again. May you rest. If you've been dealing with complicated prayer life, may you rest in the simplicity of God's grace for you. Number two, where has prayer in your life become a bit of a chore? A religious chore. Just going through the motions, something you have to do. You wake up first thing in the morning, it's like, oh, it's time for TikTok. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this brand new day. Now it's time for TikTok. Just something you go through the motions with. Where has prayer become a chore? I pray this morning, God fires you up again to see prayer for what it really is. Your most powerful weapon, the most powerful weapon. It's a nuclear bomb in the heavens in terms of changing reality. You are assaulting the forces of hell when you pray, and you are winning when you pray. Come on, get a bit more fire in your prayer. May you be fired up again to commune with God Almighty. Like it says in Jeremiah, call to me. God is saying, come on, call to me and I will answer you. I will answer you and I will show you and tell you great and hidden things that you cannot even begin to imagine. And then finally, number three, is there anywhere where you've become disillusioned with prayer? Where you're thinking, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. Where you might actually be praying and it might be simple, but there's no faith in it. You're just going through the motions, and it's just like, might as well give it a go. But I don't see how this could ever change. This year, may ye the miraculous answering of your faith-filled words in simple trust. And may you yourself, not just what you do, but may you yourself be transformed into the mighty warrior that God has designed you to be, with your spirit-filled, Bible-loaded prayers that are changing the world around you. As we round off, I would love to lead you in the Lord's Prayer, right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. And maybe you've prayed this before. Maybe you've recited this, just something that you repeat. But I want to let this shape your prayer life. I want this to make you come alive again in a whole new way. It starts with praise to our King. No, before it starts with praise, it starts with trust. It says, Our Father. When you pray, you just got to go, man, Father, Dad. You don't come as a timid child or a slave or an employee who's fearful of what they might get. You know, you run into the arms of your Father. Father in heaven, closer than the air I breathe, hallowed be your name. God, you are worthy. You are praiseful. You are Lord. Help me to keep your name holy. And in fact, first things first, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. I want to do things your way, not my way, your way. And not just in my life, but when I read the news and I see everything in the world around me. God, you step in. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May earth's reality catch up with what you are already doing in the heavens. And today, God, I come before you. And this is what I need. This is what I'm facing. I'm asking God to give me this thing. Give me what I need. Meet my needs. Give us our daily bread. And you know what? As you do, I recognize, God, I've stuffed up so many times today or this week. Or I go your way instead now. And your way means receiving your forgiveness, knowing I'm set free. and extending that to others as well. God, I let go of that person. I forgive, I bless, and I don't curse, and I just let it all go. And where I feel like I can't do that, God, you empower me to do that. The greatest forgiver gives me his strength to forgive. Forgive our sins, forgive our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And God, keep me away from things that are trying to steal my heart away. Lead me not into temptation, away from distractions, away from fleeting pleasures. Take me away from there, because I want to do things your way instead. May you be blessed this year with an on-fire prayer life in simplicity, in trust, and that changes reality. Amen? Amen. I'll hand over to Pastor Rachel.
So if everyone stands up, we're going to have a time where we're going to pray. So I first want to pray actually over 2024, actually that God would be Father over 2024. We want to pray, and we want to pray for God's kingdom to come as we've just prayed in the Lord's Prayer. So maybe you want to put your hands out in front of you, and we want to give over everything that's gone in the past over to God and step into 2024. So Jesus, right now, we give you everything that's happened in 2023. We've given you every disappointment, every fear. We forgive every person that's wronged us. We give over to you all of the unbelief. We give over to you sadness. We give over to you pain. And right now, we speak over 2024, a year of you, Lord, a year devoted to you, a year where we break off the chains and follow you, a year of unimaginable miracles. We declare a year of miraculous provision, where people are needing jobs, where people are needing just things, where people are needing healing. We declare provision now in the name of Jesus over 2024. It would be a year for you. And Jesus, right now, over people's minds, we pray for identity in you. We pray for destiny in you, that there would be an unlocking in people's minds, an unlocking to step into the stuff of you, step into the stuff of God, to step into new open doors. We thank you that you're unlocking dreams. Even dreams we may have had as a child, you're unlocking now. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now I want to give an opportunity for those that have never said yes to Jesus, that would like to say yes to Jesus, or those that know they've been away for a long time and walked another path and they actually want to come back. So we're going to all say a prayer together. And if you repeat after me, and then we'll have a time to respond for those that are saying yes to Jesus this morning. So, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again. I put my trust in you. And I declare that you are Lord. Amen. And if you said that prayer for the first time or as a recommitment, and just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, if you said that, this is kind of between you and God, and it's really to say, today is the day of my salvation. So if you said that as a way of committing to God this morning, that you know this is the first time, or you know that you need to commit and make a recommitment, after three, I'd love you to do something super bold and to raise your hand. And this is to say, today is my day of salvation. So 1, 2, 3. anyone in here saying Jesus is Lord for the first time. Awesome. Brilliant. I see that hand. That's great. So we're going to go out now with a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving, and we're going to have a time of hospitality, a time of talking and community together. But 2024, it's a new start, a new year, and we're going to start the year with prayer.
Well, that's right. We're just going to go out praising Jesus. So come on, we encourage you just to stand to your feet. We're going to sing Your Love in Me.
Your love in me, you set me on fire. And this joy I feel brings me to life. Let songs of praise, let songs of praise fall off my lips. These songs replay again and again.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.